If you've got your handouts with you this morning, your insert that's white this morning has a opportunity for us to learn together and to think together. Message that I've been excited about for a couple of weeks here and thinking about this new year. A few weeks ago, Chuck kind of challenged us and encouraged us to each have a word for the year. And so I picked my word for the year. I don't know if you have, and to actually get a theme verse for that word. If you haven't done that yet, this is a perfect time to do that. I've been in a couple of home groups, and they've kind of shared around what their words are. I heard several say things about prayer. I heard several say their word was discipline. Boy, that's a good one, huh? That's a good challenge. For me, the word was delegate. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? No, it is going well. You saw Ryan up here with the treasury, and oh, that's one of my greatest. Hand off some things. Yay! You know, that's a fun one. Renee helping me with the handout, you can blame her now instead of just me. You know, things like that. No, she's an awesome help. Yes. Rhonda helping us tons of ways. Just different people that I'm trying to offload things to. Mr. Bill back here, I just keep throwing things on his back and it just keeps getting bigger and he just takes them and it's just fun. Well, I didn't mean to get off on that because our word for the year as a church, myself and the leadership have talked about this. The word for the year as a church is strengthen. Strengthen. And I don't know if you caught that in that song. What happens when God's people come together and invite God's presence to be with us? He strengthens us and he encourages us. That song is totally appropriate for where we're going with the message today. In fact, we want to look at our theme verse for the day. Some people ask me from time to time, what's the vision for Capital Vision? In fact, they just say, what is Capital Vision? So just to catch everybody up on this, the word capital does not have an O in it. It's an A in it. Now, the dome over here, the legislators and lawmakers reside in and abide in, that's an O-L, capital. This is capital. Catch my emphasis there, meaning large. Like, you know how there's small letters and capital letters? The capital letters are the large letters. That's the meaning of capital. It's large. So if you put capital with vision, it's not a vision for the state house. It's a large vision for what God wants to do in and through his people, through the body of Christ. Capital, large vision. And how can we have a small vision when God's put us in a place where there's so many people that don't have a vibrant relationship with Jesus or the body of Christ? I am heart sick when I see people in our community who know nothing of the joy we have. They know nothing of the presence of God in the midst of the body of Christ. He's called us, brothers and sisters, to be such an inviting, magnetic body that we attract people to the presence of God. Now that's a large vision. Where do we want to stop? We don't. Till every boy, girl, young man, young woman, old man, old woman have come to know the love of God through Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's what our vision encapsulates. Now we've used the motto, haven't we? Loving people to Jesus. Everybody knows, I mean, probably everyone's got that down a little bit. Let's just repeat that. Loving people to Jesus. As a motto, it's really, really good, but our vision is more detailed than the motto. Our vision includes more than just what the motto says. And here's the verse that we want to emphasize. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to memorize this over the course of this year. It's from Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. Because where this word strengthen In this particular version, the New International Reader's Version says, our God is a God who strengthens, underline that, strengthens and encourages you. May he give you the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had. Then you can give glory to God with one mind and voice. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15, 5 and 6. Let's just take that first phrase of that. So this would basically be the first part of 5, or some would say 5A on that. Our God is a God who strengthens and encourages you. Okay, how about if we just repeat that together? Our God is a God who strengthens and encourages you. One more time. Our God is a God who strengthens and encourages you. I sense there's not quite as much flair or fervor in that. Can you say it with gusto? Because I think this is Paul's kind of rally cry, okay? If you want to know who God is, it's in this verse. Who is God and who is God to you? Our God is a God who strengthens and encourages you. One more time. Our God is a God who strengthens and encourages you. Romans 15:5. A. Who's that? Good job. Good job. Now, I want you to learn the whole thing, but let's tear it apart a little bit. Let's especially tear apart that part of the verse and look at it this morning in a little bit more detail. A God who strengthens and encourages you. Let's talk about strengthening us, how God wants to strengthen. I don't know all that was in Chuck's mind as he kind of recommended that to us, but I know some of the discussion among the leadership has been, you know, God's got such a great kind of kernel here. He's got such a great thing going, but we're not as deep. We're not as strong as he's calling us to be. Because if we're going to add some body weight, what's a little baby have to do? But they have to get stronger to be able to stand. They crawl first, then they stand. And then they take a few steps. Believe me, I'm getting through this with my grandkids. It's fun. And what happens? They get strengthened as they grow. And that's where we're at. Even though we're 20-some years old as a church family, God's just now getting us to the point where he wants us to take some bigger steps and to be strong and virile. And who is it that strengthens us? It's our God. It's our God. In fact, the two things that pop out in this verse more than a lot of things is who God is and what he wants. Who God is and what he desires. Who God is, he's a God who strengthens like you and me. He gives us strength. Now, throughout scriptures, we look to him as the one who can allow us to grow, to get strong, to be his people. A couple of verses I've listed there, like from Acts chapter 9. I just love this one because it puts the two words together as well, strengthen and encourage. Acts 9:31. Then the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in number. Now, are you catching the relationship between being strengthened and increasing in number? There's a direct connection between those. In order to grow in number, we need to be strengthened in the body. Now, you know how that happens? It doesn't just happen by wishing it. It doesn't just happen by saying it. God does it as we allow him and put ourselves in places where we can be strengthened and where we can grow. In Acts, it was because the body gathered on a regular basis. They gathered not just in large settings around the temple square. They didn't have any buildings to meet in, but they met in public courts and heard the preaching of God's word, and they started to grow. But they didn't stop there. They gathered house to house to house to house. They were willing to put themselves in a situation where they could be strengthened in their faith by gathering together big groups and small groups. That's our vision, folks. That's our vision. Gather together in bigger plenary sessions like this and gather together in smaller settings. One-on-ones, two-on-ones, five-on-ones, ten-on-ones, where we've got leaders leading groups and loving people to strengthen them, to encourage them, to bless them. The numerical growth was a direct result of being strengthened. What are your goals for 2015? What are your personal growth goals for I'm not talking about the weight goals. We all have some of those, I hope. You know, that's a good thing. I'm not talking about the financial goals. We're going to get to those next week. What I'm talking about specifically are what are your spiritual growth goals? What do you want to be different when you enter next year than this year spiritually? Maybe it's to read through the scriptures during the year. I do that every year, trying to encourage people. You will grow just by digging into God's word on a regular basis. I'm talking to 60% of you. You need to get into a group. 40% of you are in a small group now. That's good. Praise God. We want to see that grow. We want to see every person connected in a small group. We cannot shepherd you. We cannot pastor you. We can't see you strengthened if you're not connecting in a group. It's our goal for you. What is your goal for yourself? How do you want to grow? The first word that came to me when I thought of the word strengthened is actually kind of a negative one, because it's to the church at Sardis from Revelation chapter 3. So I listed it out here. He says, wake up! That's a good one, right? The church was asleep. He says, strengthen what remains and is about to die. This church, the Revelation 3 church of Sardis, was at a point where they were going to go under. They almost weren't going to make it. So he says, come on, come on, wake up and strengthen what remains. Strengthen what's there so that it doesn't die. You use it or lose it. Repeat that one more time. Use it or lose it. That goes for understanding of scripture. It goes for Bible knowledge. It goes for muscular strength. It goes for everything in our lives of strength. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished. That kind of had a challenging thought in my life. What's unfinished business? What is it that we've set our mind to and then gotten distracted from? What is it that a year or two or three or five ago you said, here's what I want to do this year? And now you're almost afraid to set the goal because you got distracted from it and it's unfinished business. You really want to be strengthened this year? Get back to the task that God has called you to be about. Strengthen what remains. Take the heart, the kernel, the nucleus of faith and start to let it grow like never before. Allow God to make a difference in your life this year. Strengthen what your deeds were unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you've received, what you've heard, and hold it fast. And repent. You know, sometimes we get the picture of a guy on the street saying, repent, come to God, come to God. You know, the word repent is used more for believers in the church than it is for outsiders. Believers in the church, which is what he's talking to here, are told to turn around. Turn around. Wake up and turn around. Repent and get back to the things, hold fast to the things that God's called you to be about. How many of you sense that's God's destination, his destiny for us here this year? To hold fast, to remember, and to get back to what he's called us to. Wake up, strengthen what remains, go back to what is unfinished and get her done, and remember to hold fast and repent. Well, I kind of got off on some tangents there, but you got the idea. It's a God who strengthens. And he does not want, I mean, Christian life is not for wimps. The Christian life is for those who would take it up and say, God, would you build in me the kind of sinew, the kind of spiritual muscle that it's going to take to be a man or a woman of God in this culture? Strengthen our lives. Cause us to be all you've designed for us. Second word, my favorite word of all time, encourage. He says, he is a God who strengthens and what? Encourages you. Encourages you. Now, you know the base word. You know the key to this is putting courage in someone. So it's the opposite of taking of fear. It's taking fear out of someone and putting courage in someone. They are simultaneously done. They're done at the same time. Taking fear out, putting courage in. We have a God who wants to take the fear out of us and put courage in. How does that happen? How does he do that? Some of these verses point that out, how it happens and how he does it. Again, the same verse I used earlier about strengthening brings up the word encourage. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. We talked about that. Living in the fear of the Lord, not fear of man, not fear of consequences, not fear of anything else, but the fear of the Lord, healthy respect for God, and encouraged, circle that, by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. Catch that? How does God encourage? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Through his word. The hows would be the Holy Spirit, the word of God. And look at verse 5:11 of Thessalonians. Therefore, encourage, what's it say? Each other. Encourage one another. Oh, that's how God does it. God doesn't just zap us. Hey, you need some courage? Now, occasionally that happens, and just reading God's word can inspire and encourage us. But you know the number one way God wants to encourage us? Not everybody do this at the same time, but look around. Don't let anyone see your eyes, but just look around. In the room, in your household, God wants to use you to bring courage to each other. Of all the one another's, you're going to see this on the top of the list. Encourage one another. And what's the second part of it? And build each other up. Amen. That's his goal for us as a body of believers, is to be encouraging and building up. Now, some of you say, well, my personality is more, I'm just kind of quiet and I'm kind of behind the scenes. Well, get on with it. Doesn't matter whether you're behind the scenes or not. Find someone to encourage and put courage in them. Did you walk in here today? Did you say hi to anybody? Did you go below the, hi, how are you? Fine, okay, see you later, bye. Did you go below that? I'm encouraging you now to ask a couple of well-placed questions. How are you? No, I mean, really, how are you? Don't ask it unless you're willing to receive it. And then when you hear, find a place where you can put some courage in, where you can press on a fear button or a discouragement button or a down button and say, I'm here specifically by God, by his Holy Spirit, to bring into your life some courage. We should be leaving this place filled with courage. We should be leaving this place and our small groups filled with inspiration and energy to take the task that he's placed in before us. This should not be a place where I'm going through the motions. Check, got that off my list. Now let's go on to something else. We should be coming here, gathering in such a way that we find encouragement. Now, I know some of you that's happening. I know for some of you, it's like, I can't wait to get back to the small, so because the small groups meet sometimes during the middle of the week, and we've had holidays in the middle of the week. Some of you have been saying to me, oh man, I gotta get back to my group, because I get so much encouragement from my group. Yeah. You were not designed to live. In fact, let me just say it this way. It is impossible to be a Christian, biblically based, without being encouraging to other Christians. You cannot obey that scripture unless you're connected to others. God's plan, his purpose, his goal, his drive, and the way he does it is through each other. The Holy Spirit, yes. The Word of God, yes. The body of Christ, definitely. In our gatherings, when we get together. Look at Acts chapter 15. It's up there as well. This talks about Judas, not the Judas that betrayed Christ, a different Judas who was a preacher. Judas and Silas, who themselves were preachers or prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. Now, preachers ought to be used by God to strengthen and encourage. Okay? That's part of our job. But you know what? We're supposed to do that with, to, and for each other. Encouraging each other. Some people would say this is a license for a pastor to speak a long time. Because he said, you know, much encouragement. You know, much, they said much. Oh, well, let's go right on there. So, yeah. Do you see how those two words are also in that verse? What happens when you come to church? So, Pastor Bruce, are you being legalistic? Are you saying people have to go to church to be a Christian? I'm like, how do you get it otherwise? What I see are people who disfellowship and stay away from the body of Christ, drying up, shriveling up, and dying on the vine. It's like, it's because the nutrient, the nutrition, the opportunity to be together isn't there for them. That's why he says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Well, so is he talking about church or is he talking? It doesn't matter. Get together somehow, right? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the custom of some, Hebrews 10 says, but all the more as you see the day of Christ drawing near. Let him be seen in our midst. So what are the two things? We have a God who strengthens and encourages you, right? That's his number one plan. That's his goal, his plan for all of us. Now let's shift to what God desires, to what God wants. Okay, we've just looked at who God is. He's a God who encourages and strengthens. But why does he do that? Why does he strengthen? Why does he encourage? What does he want from us? Well, number one, he wants us to be little Christ. He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to be conformed, he says, to the image of Jesus. Christ likeness. That phrase in Romans 15 says it this way: God is a God who strengthens and encourages you. May he give you the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had. What? He wants you and he wants me to have the same attitude, the same mindset as Jesus had toward people. He wants our lives to reflect the image of Christ. This is kind of a long passage, but here's where it's said really, really well. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, if you have any encouragement, and by the way, you say, what's implied in that? Yes, there's lots of encouragement. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Seemed like the Apostle Paul had a obsession with the mind and the idea of being like-minded. By being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships, catch this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Could I repeat that one again? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now that's a challenge. If you don't have one yet to write down for this year, where you want to be strengthened, that would be a good one. Lord, would you make me Christ-like under all conditions? Lord, would you help my mindset to be selfless? Would you help me have a lowered regard for myself and a heightened regard for others and a supreme regard for Christ in my life? Jesus Christ, who, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So we have this in flesh, incarnate example of Jesus who lived, breathed, walked the earth, felt the feelings we feel, dealt with the physical life that we deal with, in every way was tempted like we are, yet without sin. He says, that's the one to emulate. That's the goal God has for all of us, is that we would follow the example and become more and more like Christ, more and more like Jesus in our lives. Now, it mentions the extent to which Jesus went. And let me just mention this. If you're new here today and you've never heard this, here's what Jesus did. While he was here on the earth, lived a sinless life. He was taken to a cross to die, not for his own sins, because he was sinless, but he actually hung on a cross and died so that those of us who put our faith and trust in him can have his death be substitutionary for ours, so that he died for my sins. He died for in my place. If you've never trusted Christ with your salvation, if you've never put your faith in him, this is a perfect, great opportunity to do it. Can you imagine starting 2015 by placing your faith, not in your own works, not in your own goodness, not in the pedigree of your parents, not in the nation that we live in, but instead in one and one thing only, the cross of Jesus Christ that's mentioned here in Philippians, that he died a death that he didn't deserve to die, to give us a life that we don't deserve to live. Sinless, forgiven, and on our way to heaven. Today be a great day to receive Jesus in your life. It doesn't take a lot of formality. It takes a decision of your heart. If you're here this morning and need to make that decision, that's what we're here for. We'd love to talk with you further, pray with you more regarding that. As we develop Christ-likeness, one of the things that happens is he brings the body together. You know, Satan loves to tempt. Satan loves to divide. In fact, some of our creative folks have put together a little video that shows how Satan wants to do the opposite of God. Instead of strengthening and encouraging, check this out. Oh, yeah. We got to cast him out, don't we? Disunity, one of Satan's craftiest tools, and unity, one of God's greatest, greatest assets. In fact, it's listed in this verse, this theme verse for us for the year. Did you catch that? Our God is a God who strengthens and encourages you. May he give you the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had. Then you can give glory to God with one mind and voice. Unified voice. Give glory to God. Now that's his goal for us, is to be so unified and so attractive. I used the word earlier, so magnetic, that people are drawn to us and to God through us. That's his goal. Chuck, I'm glad you're sitting there. Could you do a favor for us? First, illustrate for the group here discord. Discord. You know what I mean by discord? It's not harmony. It's not in the same chord arrangement. It's discord.
Sure. In music, we would say dissonance.
Or dissonance, yeah. Okay. Now, resolve it. Dissonance again? Resolve it. What's the difference? It's not dramatic. It's not huge. But it makes a big difference in our minds. Yeah, yeah. In fact, can you do an example of the change from one to the other? And grow. It's like they grow into harmony.
They grow into harmony.
Yeah, yeah. The scriptures are replete with this word unity and harmony, where we're on the same chord. We're in the same range. We're singing the same song of glory to God. Now, there are people who I've heard say, I don't want to be unified with everybody. So if everybody votes yes, I'm going to vote no just so that there's one no. You know? And if that's kind of their personality or their boast. You know, the scripture talks about sowing strife, sowing discord. You know what it lists it as? A sin. A sin right along with the other sins. We would say slander, brawling, adultery. We'd list Galatians 5 lists the sin, and strife or contention is listed right along with that. Yeah. Instead, he says here, if we're strengthened and encouraged by God, if we pull together, we're going to have a unified force to give glory to God with one mind and one voice. Let's just list these down real quick. Number one, our devotion and love for Christ. List that out, if you would. Brent, can you see what that deep sound is there? Is that me? Okay. Our devotion and love for Christ. From Colossians 3:14, it says, over all these virtues, put on love. That's the most important one. It binds them all together in perfect unity. The motto that the Restoration Movement said, it put it really well. In our practice, it's this. It goes with this. In essentials, unity. In opinions, liberty. And in all things, charity or love. You know, you get that? In essentials, unity. In opinions, liberty. Just repeat that with me. In essentials, unity. In opinions, liberty. In all things, charity or love. Now, so you say, oh, so what are the essentials? How do we know what the essentials are? Well, you heard in the video, Satan trying to get off on all kinds of tangents that aren't essential. from musical styles to dress styles to casual. Those things do not matter. They are opinions. Liberty means you can have whatever opinion you want. Even as a church, we've said there's a lot of things that don't matter. For instance, if I were to poll the body of Christ here at Capital Vision, I'd get people all over the map on theories about the end times, pre-wrath, rapture, post. We're all over the map. And you know what? We don't care. They're theories. Based on scripture, you might have a really good theory about how it's all going to end. There's movies out right now about how it's all going to end. They're theories. How about theories of creation? I mean, we all know God created. We agree on that. But how he created? Did he use some adaptive evolutionary thing? We don't know. They're theories. I got a phone call the other day. That was the question they asked was, what does your congregation believe about creation and how it happened? I'm like, well, just a minute. Let me ask them. You know, because I don't think we have a unified thing on that. Okay? I don't think we need one. It's in that category of opinions or theories. If God wanted us to know, he would have been a little bit more explicit. All he said was, in the beginning, God created. How? We kind of go, we don't know. Things like spiritual gifts, the place of speaking in tongues or prophecy or those, we're all over the map on those. And you know what category we put those in? In opinions, liberty. It's okay to have your own opinion about those things. Where we have to be together is who Jesus is and what Jesus did for our lives and how we have a relationship and come in contact with him. Almost everything else is opinionated and opinion-oriented. What brings us into union with Christ, we've got to be together on. Everything else, we've got to have a lot of big doses of grace and love in. That's the unity of the Spirit. Jesus, and Paul says it this way, be very careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Yeah? And that's not by being so detailed about our opinions that we call everybody else and say, you've got to agree with my way of saying it, or I'm going to disfellowship you. That happens. Happens all over the place. God's calling us to be in this day and this age a united, one mind and one voice based on his love for us, based on his direction, our commitment to Christ. One Spirit striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let me get to this one. Our growth process, you've kind of seen it in the handout. The leaders are working through this. That we want everybody to connect in worship, to grow in a group, and to serve in ministry. Now, you may see that as progressive as a process, and it's designed to be that. The first thing everyone's to do is connect. Connect with the Lord. Connect with each other in worship and a small group. Grow, just like Chuck was illustrating on that chord, to grow in him is best done in a group setting. If I could encourage you anything else, get into a group this year. Number three, serve in a ministry. You don't grow just to grow. You grow so that you can give back to the kingdom of God, back in ministry and in service. If you've not identified or labeled where God wants you to serve, now's your chance, now's your opportunity, the option to do that. And how could we forget prayer? This whole passage is a prayer. From the Apostle Paul, when he says, may our God grant you this, he's praying it, and we want to be a prayer-saturated church. That's his best plan for us. Here's illustrations of how the early church was prayer-saturated, where our desires become our prayer to Christ. And lastly, our declaration. Our declaration is the message of the gospel. The message of Christ. You know, of all the things he wants from us, the number one focus is to lift up Jesus, to be with one voice, one mind, one heart. Well, as a church, as a body, as a family, could I just invite you to assess what is your role? What is your role this year in the body of Christ called Capital Vision? Just like these little characters are lifting up part of the vision, it takes every person to cast and to carry the vision forward. It's not a one-person deal. It's not even the elders, the leadership team. It's every person. Let's stand and pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for encouraging us to be strengthened and encouraged by you, our Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us all the means that you have to strengthen and to encourage us. As we take time now to focus on your Son's sacrifice, on the gifts that you've given to us, we're asking that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, help us to set goals and see you work in brand new, awesome ways this year. We give ourselves to you. We dedicate this time to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.